Let's return now to the conflict between Hamas and Israel. And later this hour, we'll hear from a former Israeli soldier, now part of Breaking the Silence, which is one of the most controversial groups opposed to the occupation. First, though, in what's been the deadliest day so far in this latest outbreak of fighting, at least 20 Palestinians were killed in Gaza City overnight, including 10 members of the same family, when an Israeli missile landed on what Israel described as the house of a senior Hamas militant. Robert Turner is the Director of Operations for the UN Relief and Work Agency for Palestine Refugees in Gaza. That organisation has 12,000 staff on the ground in Gaza City, providing food aid, education and other services. I spoke with Robert Turner a little earlier from Gaza City.
Well, thank you.
Robert, what's the reality of life in Gaza City right now over these last 5 days?
Well, I think really the important question is, what's it like for the Gazans? In a word, they're terrified. It's been 5 days of fairly constant airstrikes and naval shelling. People are scared. The streets are empty. Most of the shops are closed, and it's extremely dangerous to be moving on the streets. So people are very concerned.
Your organization is there to help supply basic services and food and other relief services on the ground in Gaza to the tens of thousands of people there. What impact has this air offensive by Israel had on that work?
It's had a significant impact. I mean, we service 1.2 million refugees out of the 1.6 million people in Gaza. Normally, today, we would have had 225,000 students in our 145 schools. Of course, we've been forced to close the schools the last 2 days, and they'll remain closed through the duration of the violence. We have 21 health clinics in Gaza. We were able to restart. 19 of them were functioning today. Yesterday, we had almost 10,000 patient visits in our clinics. We feed on a regular basis, provide food assistance to 800,000 refugees in Gaza. It's extremely poor refugees who rely on that food assistance. And we were able to restart 7 of our 12 distribution centers today so that people could receive the food basket they've been waiting 3 months for. And we're hoping to have 10 of those distribution centers open tomorrow. But, of course, it's very difficult for staff to physically get to work. It's extremely dangerous, as I said, to be moving around. So the professionalism and commitment that our staff have shown is really amazing.
Let's take all those service provisions one by one. The schools, the 240,000-odd students that you're teaching in those schools, have the schools themselves survived? Have the airstrikes been damaged the infrastructure?
As of this afternoon, there were 6 schools that had been damaged. Most of them minor, you know, windows blown out from airstrikes. A couple more major, you know, so walls damaged, etc., that will take significant repairs.
And what about the health clinics? We've seen images on our televisions of the hospitals struggling to cope with the rising injuries from the airstrikes. Are your health clinics helping to assist with that load?
Well, our health clinics are primary health clinics, so they're not emergency services, and we don't have inpatient care. We contract our service, our hospitalization. But what we have seen, what I was so amazed with when I visited 2 of our health clinics yesterday was, A, the dedication of our staff who ventured out in these very dangerous times. But the second thing that really struck me was the mothers who were bringing their young babies for vaccinations. They were so serious here about caring for their children and about taking care of their children that they ventured out, as I say, during this dangerous time to make sure that their babies didn't miss their vaccination schedules.
And Robert, more broadly, do you have any insight into, given the toll on the hospitals? I know it's not the hospitals that your organisation is running there, but I have heard reports on the news that vital medical supplies were running low in Gaza. Can you tell us anything about that? And can you tell us about the capacity to get more supplies like that into Gaza City at the moment?
There are chronic shortages of medical supplies and equipment for the hospitals in Gaza. That's, of course, been exacerbated by the huge demand that's been put on the hospitals the last days. The International Committee of the Red Cross and the World Health Organization were able today to bring in 205 pallets of medical supplies provided by the Ministry of Health in Ramallah in the West Bank. But much more is going to need to be done. We're looking now at what supplies we have in stock that we would be able to turn over to the Ministry of Health to help them. But there are critical shortages.
And what about food supplies? You've just told us that you help feed 800,000 refugees, and we've spoken before with your organization on the program about the level of poverty and hunger there. What does a conflict like this do to the capacity of the people in Gaza to either feed themselves or get food in, keep those food supply lines open?
at the moment, it's not a big problem. For the refugees that we're servicing with food assistance, the issue right now is going to be to make sure that we can maintain doing the regular distributions, because, as I said, we only distribute 4 times a year, so you get a 3-month ration. That never lasts all 3 months, so by the time you're due for your next distribution, you really need that food. And so it's critical for us to make sure that we can continue to do our regular distributions. On top of that, at the moment, because it's limited primarily to airstrikes, there has not been a large-scale displacement of the population. But what we know from history, from Castellet and other operations, is if they do come in with a ground incursion, that we will get large-scale displacement of civilians. And traditionally what they do is they will go to an UNRWA school to seek shelter. When that happens, we will provide those people with refugees or non-refugees with non-food items that they may need, mattresses, blankets, etc. But also we will do food distribution. We will have to take the food from our warehouses that is already scheduled to be distributed to the poor refugees. So what we would need then is very urgently is funding to backfill the food that we use up for those emergency operations.
So, Robert, it's a massive service agency that you provide there on the ground in Gaza. Presumably, conflict like this disrupts that enormously, as we've just been discussing. The UN is calling for a de-escalation of this conflict by both sides. What is the mood there in Gaza City now for that call for de-escalation?
I think amongst the population, they just want the violence to end. You know, I don't think most people here are really spending a lot of time thinking about the broader political ramifications of all of this. They just want the violence to end so they can, their families are safe and they can get back to their lives.
And as they look around as a result of this bombing, and as you look around, what sort of task will that be to kickstart again to get back to their daily lives after a bombing campaign like this?
Well, there isn't widespread damage in the sense of, when I was working in Haiti last year, you know, it's not like there's, you know, the entire blocks, city blocks are leveled. The damage is primarily to government infrastructure and now increasingly to private residences. It's significant damage. I don't want to underplay it, but it's not widespread damage, not yet. But what we saw from Operation Castellet is, well, after the ground incursions, literally there were thousands of homes destroyed during Castellet. We have not yet seen that level of destruction, and we hope that we will not.
So are you fearful of a talk of the growing likelihood of some kind of ground incursion from Israeli troops?
That's our fear.
Robert Turner, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
You're welcome.
Robert Turner is the Director of Operations for the UN Relief and Work Agency for Palestine Refugees in Gaza. He's in Gaza City. As I said, it's a massive operation they run there. They've got 12,000 staff on the ground providing food aid, as you heard, education, health services to 1.2 million Gaza residents. And after 8:30, we're going to hear from a former Israeli soldier who's now speaking out against the occupation, which he was once a part of implementing. It's 8:25 on Breakfast.